This is an All Elite Marks podcast exclusive behind the curtains. We named the show later in the show. We weren't even sure if we were going to really even put out the show, but we decided to. So please enjoy this podcast exclusive from All Elite Marks.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited.
I have my SummerSlam notes. I can't believe that I found them because, you know, poor kids. But I have my SummerSlam notes. So,
awesome.
But really, there's only one match that I really like want to talk about because it was
Shawn Michaels
amazing.
Triple H from that, because that's one of my favorite SummerSlams that you're reviewing.
Okay, that was really good. Like, I liked it. It was really good. It was non-sanctioned, which I thought was kind of stupid.
Well, if you had seen the Raws building up to it and SmackDowns or whatever.
Well, they did like this whole
video package
story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you saw the backstory between Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Like, you saw all of that. But man, at the beginning, Shawn Michaels just got like beat. Like, you're sitting there.
Well, you're
like,
trying to sell that he's
like,
he's got ring rust. But back then, it was all about that. It was like in those big matches, it was like, my God, they just keep kicking out of everything. That's what pops the crowd.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite matches. I love the Brock and Rock match. Am I right on that?
Yeah, so Brock Lesnar
and Rock. And then I think I want to say like there was like a Benoit and RVD were in a match together.
Hold on. Let me look. There was Kurt Angle and Rey Mysterio, which was actually way better than I thought it would be.
Well, that's really good.
Mysterio's debut.
Yeah.
WWE.
It was really good.
My memory past 2002 is like it gets fuzzy. Everything just blends in with each other, kind of. But my 90s memory, I can tell you the main event from any 90s.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Chris Jericho and Ric Flair, Eddie Guerrero versus The Edge. Which
did you just say The Edge?
I did. Sorry. Versus sorry. white girl from Maryland, okay? So the other match that I was like, oh, that's a close second. Like, this match, I think, was tied with the Shawn Michaels and Triple H. The Booker T and Goldust.
Goldust are magic together.
Yeah, that was a good tag.
They were awesome.
I wasn't really down with it at the beginning, but then I started like, I like that kind of comedy in wrestling. Especially when he had the Tourette thing.
But I couldn't believe that the Un-Americans won that. It was such a dirty match. Like, I actually wrote down dirty match and underlined it 5 times. Like, it was a dirty match. And I'm not a fan of the dirty matches where, like, the tag team, you know, there's not a clear, you know, they'll tag, and then both of the partners are in the ring, and one of the other guy. I know, but still, I hated it. Like, I hated it so much.
Well, they were just trying to get heat on the Un-Americans, but the Un-Americans...
That just means they're doing their job.
Yeah. Well.
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, nowadays I can appreciate stuff like that. But back in the day, I'd have been like, "What's going on?" I would have been so mad.
Well, I think that the Un-Americans thing didn't end up working. When I listened to Bruce Prichard's podcast, and he was talking about how none of them wanted that kind of heat because they all actually, every one of them loved America, and they all lived in America, just about the exception of Lance Storm.
Yes.
They didn't want that heat.
I'm not the only one that that was okay with the Heat was when eventually down the road they put William Regal in with them.
Yeah, he didn't care. He's like,
William Regal was
about to, like, pour it on me.
Yeah, he's like, give it to me.
I love Regal.
Yes.
And then they had this stupid, like, makeout thing. Jamie Noble.
Ooh, we still got the attitude era going on, looks like.
Nydia. They did some stupid, like, makeout thing. It was kind of ridiculous. And I was like, I can't.
Oh, that's Jamie Noble.
Back in my life.
That's Jamie Noble.
Jamie Noble.
Come here, girl.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Okay.
But then they had the NFL.
Making out in wrestling is
Rob Van Dam.
Super uncomfortable. Making out in wrestling is super uncomfortable. The only time I actually, as a kid, kind of got goosebumps was when they had teased this relationship with Matt and Lita forever. And then, like, one helped out the other or something. They're walking to the back. They're out the stage. They kind of look at the hard camera. And you could tell, like, they were actually really into each other at the time. And they started, they kissed each other or whatever. That's when I was like, okay, I can, this is all right. This felt organic because you teased it forever.
Yeah.
But, yeah. If I had to see Becky and Steph kiss on camera, ugh.
Yes. I think I was, like, 14 with the Edge and Lita, how should we put this?
Live sex show?
Yeah, that
That's when I got out of wrestling. I didn't watch wrestling for, like, 2 or 3 years. I didn't dig Edge. I didn't dig Cena as, like, your main baby face. And I wasn't really into it.
Yeah.
See, I didn't watch when Nexus was big. I did not watch it then. I used to get so angry because I was...
Nexus is around the time when I started watching it again.
As they say, it's still real to me, and it was still real to me then. I remember times when Edge and John Cena would wrestle, and I would get so fired up and stuff, and just stuff like that. Like,
oh, I'm kicking myself. I miss the ECW anniversary show when Rob Van Dam beat Cena, there's another ECW show.
Oh,
where,
God.
And the New Year's Revolution show, that would have been fun. I could have people over for that. I don't know. I just wasn't into it at the time. And I just didn't. I didn't like Cena as, like, your main face. Like, I'm not a big fan of Roman, but they don't, like, they don't push Roman down your throat as much as they do Cena. I know people probably disagree with that, but for me,
they
don't
push Cena. Like, still, I really like Roman. I've liked him since the day
I love Cena. I really do. I mean, like, I appreciate him now.
It's like you don't appreciate it until it's gone.
Exactly, yeah.
And
it's the same with Hogan.
Like,
I used to get fed up with Hogan winning every one of his matches. Matches were the same. He'd Hulk out. He'd sell. He'd Hulk out and win, and do this leg drop and body slam or whatever, and he'd win.
Right, yeah. That got old real quick.
Yeah, I was pretty excited with Warrior.
Can I just gush about the match that I really, really loved?
Yes, you can.
Yes.
Test versus The Undertaker.
Really?
Liz, you are the biggest Undertaker fan I think I've ever met. Not like there's I love The Undertaker.
Who doesn't love The Undertaker?
This match came up, and I'm like, I'm waiting for the gong, okay?
If I get heat, I'll say I don't like
it. Oh, he was American Badass right now. He was American Badass.
Yes. I wrote down, I said, where is the gong? Like, where's the gong? Because I was so confused. I was like, wait a second. That's not The Undertaker, but that is The Undertaker. He was the All-American Badass, and, this is part of the reason why he's such a favorite wrestler of mine, because he evolved so much over the years. You know, he started out with,
Yeah, he's been back with him a few times. Paul Bearer, yeah.
Yeah, Bearer, thank you. I can't say that right. he had the urn thing, and then he was with Kane a couple of times in tag team matches, and then he was the American Badass, and, now he's back to being, like, the Undertaker. But, This match to me was so physical. Like, there were these two huge guys just, like, going at it. And at one point, I think the Un-Americans came running in to, like, help Tess, because Tess was part of the Un-Americans. And Undertaker just, like, chokeslammed everybody and did a tombstone a couple of times. And, I mean, I just, like, the whole match, I'm, like, I was totally marking out, like...
He's quick for a big guy, too. Like, I'll tell you, the one match that stands out to me, speaking of SummerSlam, is the match he had with Bret Hart. I don't know, Logan, were you a fan then when he wrestled Bret Hart at SummerSlam?
Wasn't he in the cage?
Dude, okay, I was watching it at a friend's house. It was like watching your favorite sports team when you were younger, and For me, Daniel Bryan was the last guy when the Yes Movement was going on, but you pull for him like it's real, okay? So
yeah.
I'm sitting here. I'm probably the only Bret Hart fan because it's Canada versus U.S., and I'm like, oh, man, is Bret going to get this fifth championship? He's facing Undertaker. Undertaker has never jobbed clean, you know? And bam, the finish was freaking awesome. So Shawn Michaels was the referee. And in his contract, he couldn't touch Undertaker or Bret Hart. Well, Bret Hart spits right in his face. He gets a chair and says, screw it, and goes to hit Bret. Bret ducks, and he nails the Undertaker. Bret goes over for the cover and pins the Undertaker. Oh, it was the best finish ever. I was just like, as a fan, I was like, man, that is the coolest finish to a match. It played the story out perfect because, like I said, Shawn Michaels, he couldn't do anything. He had to make the count or he would have been fired from WWE. So, yeah, I've just
yeah.
97 is probably my favorite year of professional wrestling ever, by far. Watch a string of Nitros and Raws. Raw starts to get better throughout the year when Bret forms the Hart Foundation and turns heel. And Stone Cold's a full-fledged babyface. And then you still, on WCW, have NWO still going on, and it's still hot. It's not watered down or oversaturated at that point. So, yeah, 97 is a great year to go back and watch. Just my opinion. What's your favorite year?
Trey, are you
– Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Are you a Cornette fan by any
– I am a huge – Cornette fan.
Okay, have you seen he does timeline videos? And I have his timeline of his of 1997 on DVD. It is really good.
Yeah, he was a part of WWE at the time. He did commentary.
Yeah.
I think he did commentary for SmackDown when it first started. I thought his commentary was okay. His commentary was okay, but his managing skills and just him on the mic in general, especially when he was the mouthpiece for Yokozuna.
Oh my gosh. I just thought you might, since 1997 is one of your favorite shows in wrestling, that's a really good DVD because the man takes notes on everything.
Yes,
so
he does.
All of his books out, and it's like a big deep dive on 1997, and it just makes me happy. And if you can withstand all the language, it is great to listen. But you were going to ask us about...
what's your favorite year? What's your favorite year as a professional wrestling fan?
Oh, God. Somebody else answer.
If y'all know right off the bat...
So...
I mean, I really think mine was 97. I mean, that's when I was really, really watching it.
Same here. That's
I
when everybody was into it. That's kind of the rise of the boom period,
Mine is probably a little earlier. Mine is probably like 92, 93.
Mm-hmm. That's a great year. That's when
I
started watching.
Hulk Hogan was still there. The Undertaker was there.
The Undertaker was fresh, too.
Oh, my God,
yeah.
That Tuesday night in Texas.
Yoko.
Yeah, he's got a couple
lives
and everything back then.
Yeah, so Yokozuna was around. There was a fourth one that now I can't think of who it was.
We had Brett, Sean, Yoko, Lex Luger was big at the time.
Sean. It might have just been Sean.
British Bulldog. You had a great roster.
Oh, British Bulldog. Yes. Bulldog.
She just got real excited.
Sorry.
That was my dad's favorite.
No, it's fine. Don't apologize.
Those guys, every time I watched wrestling, like, they were on. And it was just, you know, I watched wrestling with my dad. And we would watch bowling and we would watch wrestling on Saturdays. And that was, like, our thing. And then it was football and baseball on the radio. So
yes. That's how it was with my grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that makes me feel good. This makes me feel good. Like, I love stuff like this.
Well, and see, like,
I'd say we just keep this recording right here and we put it out as a All Elite Marks podcast extra.
I think we should. This would be great.
Right.
Shelby still has an answer though. Shelby, you gotta give us a year that you really enjoyed.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I started watching wrestling late 2004, early 2005.
Oh, you sound so old.
I just got back into it. I took years off.
I'm going to say probably that year because it was so new to me. And anytime anybody ever said that, the wrestling is F word to me, I would get so mad, and I still do, but...
Well, you picked a good year. That was, to me, their best roster ever when they had Malenko, Guerrero, Benoit, The Rock, occasionally Stone Cold. Triple H was great. Rob Van Dam. I mean, that was the most talented roster it's ever been in around, I would say, 2002 to around 2008. Very good.
Orton was there. WrestleMania 21 is one of my favorite WrestleManias. I can only tell you that it's my favorite WrestleMania because it's the first one I ever watched. And it was just, whoa, like, this is cool.
Well,
like,
damn it, Shelby, that's going to just have to move us on to something else. What's everybody's favorite WrestleMania?
Well, you have my answer.
Well, your WrestleMania 21. What is yours, Katie?
I don't even know. Like, I...
Well, is there a match that stands out?
I can't remember. Like, it's been that long since I've, like, sat down and watched the WrestleMania. Because growing up, we didn't have cable. I've always lived out in the sticks. We didn't have cable.
There's a lot of areas around here that don't provide cable or even internet, or really bad internet, I should say.
Yeah. Well, so I'm still playing catch up. I'm still like, okay, guys, come over and watch next.
I highly suggest consider watching old WrestleManias, because these new ones are like 8.5 hours long, and
getting
through them.
I've been trying to pinpoint when I stopped really watching, and it's really hard to, because I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I remember that. Because I kind of kept up with it on the internet a little bit still, here and there, just to see what was going on.
Right.
And, I don't remember when it was. I remember when I got back into it. It was around 08, 09-ish, something like that. But there was a good 2 or 3 years where I didn't watch. And it had a lot of my favorite wrestlers too. I remember I wasn't really watching when Benoit won the Triple Threat. I was just kind of watching as a casual fan almost when he won the Triple Threat against Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But man, I'm kind of giving myself a hard question here. Greatest WrestleMania ever. I'm gonna go with 17. You have the TLC match with Edge and Christian, the Hardys, and the Dudleys, and then you had the awesome Rock versus Stone Cold match with the turn at the end with Stone Cold, and you had, I think, I want to say it was like a triple threat between Benoit, Jericho, and Angle, three of the greatest workers ever. So,
yeah, I think you're right.
It, to me, and 17 had the wildest audience, and I think it was at the peak of the Attitude Era. And that's around the time when they started that crappy WCW invasion right after that. So, to me, that was the peak of WWE popularity, and that event just kind of was the climax of everything. And I'll say WrestleMania 17, and my favorite wrestler's not even involved in it.
What about you, Logan?
So I've got one that's not what you would think, but it was the most impactful wrestling pay-per-view probably in my life.
Okay.
And that is WrestleMania 7.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay, real fast, before you say anything, Logan, because I want you to get into it, I want you to go into why. WrestleMania 7 was the first WrestleMania I got live on pay-per-view with my stepbrother. We had saved up our allowance, and my stepbrother kept telling me, Brett's going to beat Piper for the Intercontinental belt. I didn't believe him because Piper had never jobbed at the time. And that freaking – and it's one of my favorite WrestleMania matches ever. I can still go back and watch it this day. Macho Man Randy Savage versus Ric Flair and the whole Miss Elizabeth thing. She was my girl before she was yours. I absolutely love that WrestleMania. Please tell us why. That's one of my favorite WrestleManias too.
Okay, so first of all, let's take a step back because I think you're getting one confused. Because
No, I am. I'm thinking of WrestleMania 8. WrestleMania 8 was the first one I got. You're thinking of Slaughter and Hogan, aren't you?
Yes.
Okay, see, I went back and watched that on VHS, but go ahead.
First of all, it has one of my favorite, lengthy storylines in it, which was the Jake the Snake Roberts and Rick Martel feud.
Blindfold
where
match
he had
at WrestleMania 7?
Yeah, and they had the blindfold match, which was the final blow-off of the whole thing.
And the match was more over than they had speculated.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the thing. This part's for you. The Hart Foundation...
All right, Doug.
Fought the Nasty Boys at that paper.
And the Nasty Boys freaking won because they were about to start pushing Brett. Brett had won the Intercontinental belt from Mr. Perfect at that SummerSlam that following that year, which is another event that – another SummerSlam that I absolutely love. It was when that – that SummerSlam 91, when Ultimate Warrior and Hogan fought Slaughter and Colonel Mustafa and whoever else, the Sheik, that was the first event as a child that I got into. That was when I started watching wrestling. That's when I can pinpoint I started watching wrestling right there. Something about Macho Man, Mr. Perfect, and Bret Hart. I loved all three of those guys. Never, and I went back as a kid and I'd rent all these videos. Did y'all ever go to the video store and rent wrestling videos?
Yeah.
No, my mom wouldn't let me.
She wouldn't let you?
No.
My grandfather took me at least a couple of times a week, and that's sometimes I would get the same event.
Okay. The other thing is, we didn't have a whole lot of, like, movie rental places around us.
Oh, my.
We had maybe one.
They don't have anything around them.
No, it was bad.
I like that WrestleMania, Logan. What stands out in my mind from that WrestleMania is the retirement match between Macho Man Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior.
And
multiple elbow drops he gave. Warrior ends up winning, and Miss Elizabeth's in the crowd. Oh, that gave me goosebumps too. Now that I think about it, is they didn't kiss or anything. They just hugged, and she came out of the crowd and helped get Sherry off Macho Man.
Yeah, because Sherry was beating the crap out of him with her shoe.
Yeah, she was great.
Oh yeah.
It's the beginning of Undertaker's streak too.
Yes, Undertaker defeated Jimmy Snuka, but Snuka was a jobber at the time. But still, at the same time, that's an impressive win to have at WrestleMania. Snuka used to be the man in the WWF.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you know, all about when Dominic Foley got interested in wrestling was when Jimmy Snuka jumped off the cage.
Yes, exactly. I have Snuka, I have an old school Snuka action figure. It's one of those big rubber ones. I seen it at the flea market. It was like a dollar. I'm like, I gotta have that.
Try out an idea for a podcast. Something we should cover on a podcast. We should cover the Undertaker's streak at WrestleMania and the matches, and who at the time was big, who was jobbing, who was. I think that would be fun.
That would be great. Yes, we could have all the people that are on here right now. And everybody give their opinion on each match real quick. That would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
We should
fun.
Do that. We should definitely do that for my so for WrestleMania season, I usually try to pull out as many stops as I can, and that should be a really cool way to get us hyped up for WrestleMania, and it would be really, really cool to put it out around Road to WrestleMania time, and it kind of builds our, you know, y'all haven't played a fantasy season yet. I don't know if we're going to do it this year or not, but we might go back to the season where you draft a roster and everything. I don't know. I'll have to ask my peers here, like Logan and Nick and Matt and all the moderators, what they would want to do. I'll have to put a vote to it. Because the season can get once you start gaining losses in the season, it's like fantasy football a little bit. You know, by the end of the season, if you're 2-5, or 2-8, what are you really fighting for, kind of deal?
Yeah,
right.
People like to make trades at the last minute, which is kind of exciting, but a headache on my part because I gotta go through there and manually do that. But the one guy that did it the most is not on her page anymore, so. Shelby remembers him. I think Shelby was on the old page.
I was vaguely on the old page before I even realized what it was.
It was Wrestling Marks. It was just Wrestling Marks.
And I just thought I was joining a group that, you know, wrestling. But talk wrestling, and then I realized that there was fantasy wrestling, so I would like stalk y'all. I mean, not really stalk you, but like watch the posts and figure out how it was going on and everything. It was sort of fun. It was cool, and now I'm undefeated. So there you go.
Queen of Rings. We do have something special. Me and Logan, Summer, Casey, and even Terry. Have been talking about doing for tomorrow night, because since we're all going to be together watching the All Out pay-per-view, we thought about putting something special together for fantasy. Maybe, you know what I'm saying? You've seen these promos, or by themselves. I think it would be cool if we had Loco going face-to-face with the WWE fantasy champ. We'll see how much talk he is when he's got the funhouse in his face.
There you go.
Yeah, I can hear the laughter now.
What do y'all think about this? Well, okay, so let's put this conversation out there. What is a good name for this podcast that we did tonight? Because it's very random. Maybe just the All Elite Marks Extra. I don't know. That's just off the top of my
head. Perfect.
Okay. Yeah, that's a. We could drop these every once in a while. I like these casual conversations where they're not so
orderly. We could steal from Jim Cornette's new book and call it Behind the Curtain.
We could do that. Behind the Curtain. That sounds good. Logan, do you have a vote in that?
Marks on Shoot.
Marks on what?
Marks on Shoot, or Shooting Marks, or you know, because it's like
that sounds like something somebody had a problem with in their pants.
anybody named Mark has been on the
Brown Racetrack.
I'm just sitting here shaking my head at you all down in Georgia.
Okay, before we end this, because we've been going 30 minutes now, and we let's just go ahead. Well, my last thing I want to ask is, Katie, what do we sound like to you? Do we sound like hicks to you? Because I actually asked Rodney one time, like, you know, I was like, Stephen Platinum does an impression of us, like, we sound like we're from, you know, backwoods or whatever. And I'm like, we don't sound country, do we? And Rodney's like, yeah, we do. Really?
So I went to school in Virginia Tech.
Right.
I graduated with an animal and poultry sciences degree.
Super impressive.
So hearing southern accents, I'm like, oh, I'm home.
Oh, so I know. I think you hate our accents, but what
well,
I mean, does it sound drastically different from people, though, where you live?
No, you all sound southern. Like, that's about it.
That's us.
What do I sound like?
You sound different. You don't sound southern to me. Like, okay, so Logan has a little bit of a southern draw, but to me, Logan doesn't sound super country. You got to think, I work out of Dalton, Georgia, and I mean, I work around people, they sound like this, and that to me is country sounding. Even Comrade kind of has a southern twang to his voice.
Logan, say something.
Well, what do you want me to say?
He's got the draw. He's got the draw.
Yeah, I mean, I get made fun of all the time for the way that I talk.
But you don't sound like some of the people I work with, which is probably going to get me heat
for. No, Logan, you sound like some country music star. Like,
yeah, you sound like Nashville country.
Yes.
Now, yeah, to me, and some of my friends that have kind of a country accent, they're like, man, you don't sound country at all to me, talking to me. But then I have heard people tell me before, yeah, you sound country.
I got
you sound Virginia country.
I do?
Yeah, you
sound okay. Well, I'll take that as a compliment.
Shelby sounds Georgia.
Thank you. I got told that so much.
Shelby has certain trademark sayings that are just sayings around here, I've noticed too. Which I do too. I usually say stuff like, especially if my kids do something, I'm like, Lordy, you know, something like that.
Listen, I got told that I sound like a man. I get told
I don't get that at all.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate that.
That whole kind of man sounds like Shelby.
Then I got told by one of my coworkers.
Not much of one.
They were listening to the podcast. It sounds like a lesbian. I was like, I didn't know that lesbians had a certain sound.
I didn't know that either. I know. No, wait a minute. Okay. All right. If I was thinking of how a lesbian sounded, it would not sound like you. Not that lesbians have a certain sound, but if you were to stereotype a lesbian sound, it would sound like
exactly.
You.
Exactly. And I was like, I know. I was like, I don't know how to take this. I don't know what to say. So I turned around and I walked away.
It's a kind of a rude thing to say. That it doesn't even sound like.
No,
I mean, it definitely
kidding.
Doesn't sound like a compliment. Nothing against anybody who's gay, but it does not sound
exactly.
like a compliment.
Like, what does that mean?
I don't even know what that means.
What does it mean?
And how do I?
You know what I think it means?
Shelby, was it a female saying it to you?
It was.
Maybe she's kidding you.
Oh.
I mean, I've been hit on by other girls before, and I'm like, you're just not my type.
If I was hit on by another man, I didn't know it. That's how oblivious I am. I wouldn't have known it. I've had my wife say, okay, that girl just hit on you. I'm like, she did? I didn't even notice.
That's how I am. I have a customer that comes into the bank, and we talk wrestling a lot.
and he slipped me a note today that said, hey, I really enjoyed talking wrestling with you. I'm not going to be coming in anymore, but add me on Facebook. And I was like, okay. And my coworker's like, you know he was hitting on you, right? And I was like, no.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people, I will say this, that automatically go to the, oh, they're hitting on you, they're flirting. Some people are just, I mean, we are in the South. Well, some of us are in the South.
Yes.
And there's that thing where sometimes it's just being nice.
I know, man. And, I get mad at work when, okay, so we I would say about 90% male at UPS, okay? But we are starting to get better about, we've been hiring a ton of females. So the female talks to, I'm not going to say the guy's name on here. When the female talks to this guy, it's like every time, man, you see that? She's hitting on me. I'm like, she was being nice, jackass. Like, what? If she's hitting on you, okay. I would think she would at least be like, it would be more obvious, I would think. But that's and I've seen them talk, and it's like, she's not hitting on you, dude. She's just, that's her personality. And then there's a girl in the office that would say sweetie or honey, and they're like, see how she flirts with every driver? And I'm like, dude, that's just how she talks.
Being a woman is fun.
I know. I don't envy y'all at all. I highly respect women in general because I would not want to be a woman. I'll just say that. And I don't mean that as any disrespect. I mean that as respect to any woman.
Yeah.
Y'all got it rough.
I kind of enjoy it.
2019 is a weird
time. That's what, well, that's right. And, I mean, I don't know. I think things are changing in good ways. I'm not trying to – and this is not a – that's not me being political at all. I'm just saying it, as far as, like, at my job, like hiring more women and just in general and putting them in – and heck, this girl, I've been dying for her to get into supervision. She cares about the employees. They finally put her in. It's like, yes, finally. You have a supervisor that's a woman, and she actually cares for the employees.
That's awesome. That's super awesome.
We don't always get that.
We have had tonight.
Yes, we have, and we will end it. The last thing I want to speculate is Logan's penis size as we end the show. Logan,
oh,
I wanted to end it on a high note, okay? So,
oh gosh,
this is an ongoing joke. Daryl,
it's not a hard note.
Well, some guy called into Curtain Jerkers, and really, I think he thought it was a different kind of show because it was called Curtain Jerkers. And he wanted to speculate the size of Logan Frazier's penis. I don't know why.
Listen, when do we get to expect Curtain Jerkers again? Because I left you a really good question, and I would like an answer.
Well,
to
you would be the only one that's listening to a good question.
Hey, I left one.
Oh, no. Logan sends them to me on the email. I'm sorry. I apologize. Logan has me some good questions, and Shelby. So I have three voicemails as we speak. We can get some more. I would like to just add it to the podcast that Shelby and Logan do where they talk about the headlines. Here's an idea. I know we're going over, but this is a podcast extra. Okay. What do y'all think of the idea? And this is only going to appeal to people in our group of a fantasy wrestling podcast we put out every once in a while, like once a month. And we just have fun with it like we're doing tonight.
I'm here for it.
I think
we
it would be great.
We can kayfabe it, too.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, are you kidding me?
Yes.
We're not going to do it unless people
kayfabe. That's what I was going to ask. Would we all be in character? Or
yes,
is this
but at
like,
the same time, you don't want to, like, overdo it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't, if we're doing, like, a 30-minute podcast, we can't have people trying to shoot
some
promos over each other. We almost need it like they used to do the old face-to-face interviews, but they weren't really face-to-face. They were just like Do you know what I'm talking about? They do a split screen.
We call it the Fantasy Wrestling Summit.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, my God, yes.
And I see whoever's in a feud at the time or has a match coming up. Like, let's just say tonight, we're all on here together, and Summer and let's just say Nick or JR or whoever, or you or Casey. And then it's like, okay, now let's see what you can do off the top of your head. You know, I've been really good at shooting these promos where you can start all over if you wanted to, but I want to see, just like we'll try to do something Saturday night, I want to see what you can do off the top of your head, especially with Summer. I'm anxious to see. Summer's gotten very confident on the mic. I want to see what he can do when he's caught off guard.
I'm here for it.
Do y'all like that idea?
I like it. I like it because it sounds to me like it's going to start off real calm and everything, and then it's just going to turn into, like, everybody talking over each other and yelling at each other.
And I love this like podcast. Chaos. Rodney hates this podcast, and I know a lot of people that do, not just Rodney, but they hate the podcast when they're talking over each other. I'm like, oh, I love those. I love roundtable discussions. I mean, you know, somebody's talking, you know, you give them respect. Okay, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. You just let that person talk eventually, but it shows how much they're into the podcast and it gets the listener more involved, which, I mean, it'll only be really entertaining to the people that play fantasy probably, but I think it'll be a lot of fun.
And think about as that market grows, like with what you want to do with fantasy,
mm-hmm.
if we were to continue that,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's there's no bad press, you know what I mean?
You know, and I've been doing it for a while. It really hasn't, I mean, it's took off in a weird way, but it hasn't took off in any kind of like, oh my God, I got to get this out to everybody. You know, and I've gone through stages where I'm like, okay, I do have to get this out to everybody, but until I can find mm-hmm. somebody that knows how to develop an app, and I was talking to somebody for a minute, I just don't know how I can really present it to say somebody like, I don't know why WWE hasn't done it yet. I mean, get people more to watch Raw and SmackDown where you don't really care about the wins and losses of the storyline. They're selling the app. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you're playing fantasy and you've got a roster and somebody from your roster is on, well, you're watching Raw or SmackDown and you're watching it on pins and needles because you're like, damn, I need these points. And that's kind of how a season does. You know, I mean, yeah, I know you're like that when you watch a pay-per-view, like, I need these points. But the season thing's pretty cool because, like, you know, it's usually Raw and SmackDown, and then the pay-per-views, you get more points.
Mm-hmm.
Just explain it. I'll send it out there.
The last AEW pay-per-view, trying to figure out if the Young Bucks were going to win or not.
Oh, wow. I cannot wait to watch that All Out show tomorrow night. It's going to be fun. Logan, what time are you coming over?
Hey, what time does the buy-in start?
It starts at 7. I think if you're there by 7, everything would be cool, but I think the actual show starts at 8.
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I know everybody hates these matches a lot of times. I actually freaking love Battle Royals.
I do too, man. So, I'm a big fan of them too.
And that's where the Women's Battle Royal is going to be, is in the buy-in.
Love the Rumble Jag, love the Royal Rumble, and love all the Casino Battle Royale. I mean, I just like Battle Royals, man. It's a spectacle.
I was going to ask you if you thought that, if you think that this female Battle Royal will be as eccentric as the Battle Royal from a couple
years ago. Well, they've had criticism, and even JR criticized them on some stuff. I think they're going to slowly get better and better, kind of like how we have with the podcast and fantasy and everything that we do on our page. They're just, you know, the more they do it, the better they're going to get. They're going to find stuff that's wrong with it. But I would expect it to be a little different from the last Battle Royal, which – I didn't have a problem with that last Battle Royal. That was just me. There were some comedy spots, and, I mean, that's, you know, that is, some people love that stuff, like Summer, and then some people don't really like it, like me and you and Jim Cornette.
I mean, dude,
I'm really a 60-year-old.
I'm really a 60-year-old man in this.
You know what? And Logan, I loved it too. And I'm also a very old school fan in a way, and I do dig comedy when it's done right in wrestling, but sometimes I can't suspend my disbelief, which I didn't think they did a bad job. Dude came in with his hands in his pockets, kicking around. Tommy Dreamer didn't sell it like you would see on the indies. He didn't even sell it. He was like, "What the hell is this guy doing?" And they threw him out, you know, pretty fast. So it didn't bother me.
Went out and over.
Right, it didn't bother me. You didn't have what's his name Joe Ryan come in flipping people with his dicks, or you know, I mean.
But you know, when you have like Gentleman Jervis versus Orange Cassidy, that's too much.
Yeah, and that's where I think Shelby will agree.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this. Now there's an invisible wrestler. The guy doesn't exist. You can't see him.
Oh, well, then he's on all Elite
Mark. Were y'all watching wrestling when Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon were tag teaming up against Shawn Michaels and God?
See, that's when I wasn't watching wrestling.
Yeah, I wasn't watching
wrestling. I remember that about that match.
So stupid.
My dad's a preacher. That didn't very well go over.
Well, it didn't go over with me, and I'm not... I wouldn't say I'm the most religious or spiritual person in the world, but it didn't really, it set kind of weird with me. Like, I just felt very uncomfortable watching it. Like, what's the payoff? Like, if the payoff was that God and Shawn Michaels defeated them, I could kind of see that. I'm still uncomfortable with it, but I could kind of see it. But they didn't. I think they defeated Shawn, didn't they?
I don't know what happened in it, because I was like, y'all wasn't watching it, but... I mean, if I'm booking that, something really weird should have happened, like unexplained.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, right.
And everybody's in the ring like, Sean would be like, what just happened?
You want a happy ending with something like that.
He was going to do that.
It just made me think of the whole Invisible Man character thing that's going on. Like,
maybe that's who was out there. It wasn't God.
Yeah, right.
That's what I guess my main concern is. Okay, when we hit TV in October, when AEW, not we, I'm not working for them. But when AEW hit TV in October, are we gonna have Orange Cassidy and an invisible person? Because that's not cool.
Some of the WWE comedy is like really cringeworthy for me. I didn't dig Santino Marella. I mean, the guy was. I mean, he had some cute segments or whatever, but. I'm telling you, just overall, I didn't dig the Cobra stuff, and I didn't, I mean, most of the shit I just did not really dig, and I didn't really like, you know, Santino Marella as a character, if I'm being honest, especially knowing that he could really grapple in real life, and it's like, man, maybe evolve his character and make him into, like, this really good grappler, but they didn't.
That's why I like Heavy Machinery. I know you don't like Heavy Machinery.
No, a lot of people do like him, though.
I think they have a pretty decent moveset, especially their finishing moves.
You know,
it's really cool.
To me, they look too much like the damn War Raiders, and the War Raiders I love because they're flying around the ring and they're huge. They just, and their gimmicks, that guy and what is it, Heavy Machinery, the big guy, he's just too
short. Otis.
I don't know. He's got heat with me. They could be an excellent tag team. They do remind me a little bit of the Natural Disasters in a way. I don't know. I don't know why, but something about them reminds me of the Natural Disasters.
Just bury them. The problem I have with them is the caterpillar move, because I didn't understand the worm. I don't understand the caterpillar. There's no guy going to lay there and wait on you.
You're right there with me, Logan. It's hard for me to suspend my disbelief on stuff like that. But, you know, you got to think of the leg drop, and it evolved from the leg drop and the people's elbow. But those I kind of dug, man. Like, usually Rock had them laid out before he delivered that people's elbow, and the same with Hulk.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. I think AEW is going to try to appeal to every genre of fan, so you will get some of that comedy crap, but you're also going to get really good wrestling, I feel. Whereas WWE, everything feels the same. Every match feels the same. Sorry, go ahead.
I think you're not going to notice it as much because it's a shorter show. Other than SmackDown. Obviously, SmackDown's 2 hours long. But if you're comparing, like, AEW to Raw,
right,
I think you're not going to notice it as much because it's shorter. It's over in 2 hours.
Right.
You don't have much to catch that. Like, if it's 10:30 at night and I'm watching Raw, and I'm like, God, why am I so late to these matches stuff? You might not get that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you see where I'm coming from? Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's my thing. If you've been watching Being the Elite, I think you're getting a rough idea of, now this is my opinion, of what AEW is going to be like. Because you'll have a comedy spin in there, but it's very short, it's to the point, and then it moves on to more serious storylines and, you know, other things.
And as we're talking about AEW, I don't know if y'all feel this way.
I haven't had a chance to actually watch some AEW.
Well, you're gonna get your chance soon enough. They'll probably launch some kind of streaming service as well eventually. But I think they lack a really big name. So that's why I kinda hope CM Punk shows up at All Out. I don't know, they're gonna do fine without Punk. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say they need him. Well, I am trying to say they need him. To me, they do. I think they need that one big name. And I know everybody's going to say, well, Jericho. I'm like, yeah, but you need another. You need another. And Omega's a big name, too. I understand that. And so is Cody. But I just feel like they need a CM Punk to really make them legitimate. That's just my opinion. How do y'all feel about that? And this will be the last thing I ask from y'all. Go ahead, Logan.
Well, there is Moxley there, but
yeah,
here's
he's a big name too. Punk has more of a star presence.
I think they need somebody that is a big name, like you say, but that has charisma,
right?
That and you know, hey, I like Kenny Omega. He can talk. He can wrestle. I like the Young Bucks. They can talk. They can wrestle, but it's still just not quite got that charisma of like a Shawn Michaels, a CM Punk, Rock. You know,
he's got that nostalgia
factor.
He's got the nostalgia factor.
But are they trying to put out a different product, and so they don't want somebody with that kind of charisma?
That's a very good
point. Yeah, they're saying they want to home grow them, you know, that you're going to see them.
Well, at the same time, if some big name is released, they're going right after Sean Spears, Ty Dillinger. You see what I'm saying? Like, Moxley is another example. If you're a big name.
Oh, MJF.
And they've already said, they want Punk. It's whether Punk wants to come or not. And I don't understand why Punk would not, because – number one, he's getting everything he wants. He's getting a bushel of money. Two, they're probably going to let him do whatever he wants as far as storyline wise, and probably have some kind of creative control to some degree, you know. And three, the thing he complained about most is like the schedule. He's not going to have the schedule that he would with the WWE.
Right.
So it's a win-win for Punk. I don't understand. And it gets him back to making money again, too, because I think he does some stuff with comic books or stuff, but, I mean, it can't be that.
Well,
and he made a ton of money off USC. I understand that, but I'm just saying.
He's got two movies coming out, too, between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, but those are probably straight to Red Fox.
Yeah, probably.
All I'm saying is,
they were saying today that he had a lot of nagging injuries and that he was. And what blew my mind about Grill and JR today, or that I listened to it today, was in one breath they're talking about The Undertaker wrestling, and the next breath they're talking about, well, you know, CM Punk's like 42, and he just don't have that many matches left. I'm like, The Undertaker is a hell of a long way from 42.
Yeah.
So if you're saying he's still able to go and he's still able to do matches, then CM Punk still got plenty of time left to do something in the ring.
Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. I mean, AJ Styles is 41.
There you go. Wow.
I mean, age is a weird thing. Like, you know, back in the 90s, if you were in your 40s, like a Flair or Anderson, you were considered super old. Like, man, you need to retire, like Hogan or somebody. But nowadays, it's not looked at as that bad. I mean, you got Christopher Daniels, AJ Styles, Bobby Roode, Samoa Joe. They're all either in their 40s or knocking on 40's door. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, people are living longer today, too. And, I mean, people are able to go longer. Look at Tom Brady.
They're taking care of themselves a little bit more, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in the day, the road life was a little different, they say. They were going out to bars, yeah, drunk. They were taking everything they could. You know, you got a lot of guys who are mm-hmm. pretty straight edge for the most part. They might drink a little bit here and there, but I don't think they're as wild as they used to be. So maybe you'll see a trend,
yeah,
like let's just say in the next 20, 30, 40 years, where you're not seeing wrestlers drop dead at the age of 40 or 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which
yeah.
is super sad. Super sad. All right, guys. Well, that will do it for All Elite Marks Podcast Extra. I want to thank y'all for being on the line with me, Logan, Shelby, and Katie. This was just kind of a clusterfuck of a show. Excuse my language.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this has probably been the most enjoyable podcast I've done in probably ever, maybe.
I really enjoyed it.
Awesome.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. We'll do one of these again because these are super easy and they're super fun. And thank you for listening, whoever's listening out there.